Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom. I was waiting for the startup music, but I guess it's not in here. Welcome to Keeping It Royal Radio. Tonight, we have a special treat. We have Moray Marvin Davis bringing our message. So if you guys are tuning in, this is going to be a special one. I am not going to keep you long. I'll let him do all his preliminaries. But I want to start with, I like to always start and let you guys know when you guys hear us use certain names or certain terms that they will be explained further. I want to cover a couple of them now before we get started. If you hear Yahuwah or Yahweh, we're talking about what most of us commonly refer to as God. If you hear us say Yehoshua or Yeshua, that's who most people commonly refer to as Jesus. There'll be some other terms that will come up, but they only will be explained. I'm going to give the mic over to Rabbi Davis.
Shalom to 12 tribes of Israel worldwide. We respect you, we honor you, and we salute you. The tribe of Reuben and Simeon, Levi, Judah, Manasseh, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin, as well as to the whole family of Israel who have been grafted in by faith in Yahushua HaMashiach. We greet you tonight. Shalom, shalom. I guess this is a special night for me. I am actually a guest on my wife's program, and it's a privilege to be here tonight to be able to share with you a concern that weighs very, very heavy on my heart, that is keeping a lot of people in darkness concerning the word of the Most High Yah, and that is a grave misunderstanding of the word. So that's what I really want to talk about. I actually want to talk tonight about the word. So I want to talk about the word. You will need your Bibles tonight because we're going to primarily just quote scriptures tonight, and hopefully by the end of our session, we will have a good grasp on what and who the word is. Shalom, shalom.
All right, so if you guys are ready to get started, we are going to start up with our welcome music, and then we'll get right into it. Be back in a second.
Royalty, power to the chosen people. Bible in my hand, word inside my heart, and pain before my eyes. Broken people wanting to believe in something, looking for a light, trying to find the truth. But we give them doubt, saying we do something we don't. Hurting people, saying we do things that we won't. Whooping sheep's clothing with a cross on his chest. Taking people money, promising to be blessed. But power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, royal priesthood. That you've been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty, yeah.
Once we weren't the people, now we are the people. Do you know who you are?
Royalty.
All right, we're back. We're going to jump right in with Armore giving us the word. I want him to just start off, and we'll kind of flow and dialogue from there. You guys are welcome to jump in the chat room if you want and ask questions, and we will get to those after some of the breaks. All right, here we go.
All right, once again, shalom, shalom. Let's start with probably a very recognizable verse in our manuscript, in what we call the New Testament, although there is no such thing as a New Testament. It's not necessarily new, but it is true. And so we want to look at the Gospel of John, chapter 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verse 1 as sort of a launching pad for what we want to talk about tonight concerning the Word. The Bible says, in the beginning, I mean, it's right there in the manuscript if you're looking at it. It says, in the beginning was the Word. So let's just pause right there. In the beginning was the Word, and if we don't know what the Word is, from right here, from this first part of the verse, then the rest of the entire book is really not going to make a lot of sense to us as we study John's gospel. If you don't understand the Word, then you can misunderstand the whole message of the book of St. John. If you don't understand the Word, if you don't understand what the word is referring to, then it is a good chance that not only will you misunderstand the Word, but you'll misunderstand salvation that came by the Word of the Most High Yah. So let me begin with sort of like, I guess, a couple of definitions. We're going to be speaking about a word called Torah. And I want to define that before we go too far, because most commonly Torah is referred to as the first five books of your Bible. So, of course, in our English Bibles here in the United States of America, it's listed as Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, which we commonly call the books of the law. But Torah is more than just those books. The word Torah is derived from a root word that's used in the realm of archery, and it is yarei. And of course, yarei means to shoot an arrow to hit a mark. The mark or the target, of course, was the object at which the archer was aiming. So therefore, Torah really is one of the nouns derived from this root, and therefore it has to do with aiming toward a mark. So the target is the truth about Yah. So what we're doing is we're trying to shoot, if you please. Torah has to do with instructing in a very strict sense. It has to do with instructing people concerning the truth of Yahweh or Yahweh. And therefore, Torah is more than just the law. It is direction, it's teaching, it's instruction, and it's doctrine. So why did we need that definition? Because the word Torah throughout Scripture is often referred to by the word Word. So when people talk about Torah, a lot of times they don't realize that throughout the Scriptures, when the Scriptures mentions Torah or mentions the Word, it's often talking about Yahweh's instructions, his teachings, and his doctrine, which is found primarily in those first five books of the Bible called the Law. All right? So anything you want to put in there?
No, but let's take a quick break, and we're going to play a couple of songs, and then we'll come back to hear about exactly what this word is.
Morning to you, man. Morning to your love. Africa must wake up, sleeping sons of Jacob. But what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. This the day we working. Can you tell me, young ones, who are we today? Yeah, now. Well, Africa must wake up, you sleeping sons of Jacob. But what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. This the day we working. Can you tell me, young ones, who are we today?
The black oasis, ancient Africa, the sacred. Awaken the sleeping giant. Science, art is your creation. I dreamt that we could visit old Kemet. Your history is too complex and rigid for some Western critics. They want the whole subject diminished. But Africa's the origin of all the world's religions. We praise bridges that carried us over the battlefronts of Sudanic soldiers. The task put before us.
You hear me out. Africa must wake up, sleeping sons of Jacob. But what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. This the day we working. Can you tell me, young ones, who are we today? Yeah, now. Well, Africa must wake up, sleeping sons of Jacob. But what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. This the day we working. Can you tell me, young ones, who are we today?
Who are we today? The slums, diseases, AIDS. We need that all to fade. We cannot be afraid. So who are we today? We are the morning after. The makeshift youth, the slave ship captured. Our diaspora is the final chapter. The ancestral lineage built pyramids. America's first immigrant. The king's son and daughters from now waters. The first architect, the first philosophers, astronomers, the first prophets and the doctors was us.
Hey, now can we all breathe? Each in his own way, teaching and learning, we can work it out. We love a warm bed, we love some warm bread and shelter from the storm dread, and we can work it out. Mother Nature feeds all in famine and drought. Tell those selfish in ways not to share us out. What's the tree without root? Lion without tooth? Lie without truth. You hear me out. Africa must wake up, you sleeping sons of Jacob. But what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. This the day we working. Can you tell me, young ones, who are we today? Yeah, Lord.
All right, we're back, and we're going to get right back into it. That song was called Africa Must Wake Up, and it's by Damian Marley and Nas, and the CD is Distant Relatives. All right, the hand of the mic is back in Rabbi's hands.
The hand of the mic. All right, I'm going to be going through a lot of verses tonight, and when I say a lot, I mean a lot of verses. So because this is being recorded, you can always download the podcast and slow it down, and you can have these verses. It'll be wonderful in helping you gain an understanding of the word. The Bible is a very, very unique book or set of books. The Bible is what I call, referred to as a very holy manuscript. And one of the things about the Bible is that the Bible describes itself. The Bible is its own best commentary. The Bible is its own dictionary. The Bible is its own the Bible is its own support. And so therefore, we use the Bible in order to actually study the Bible. And so I want us to look at the word of Yahweh tonight. I was able to find some things on Bible resources, and I just want to share it with you tonight. Number one, when we talk about the word of Yah, we need to know that the word of Yah, number one, is truth. Psalm 119, verse 43, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy righteousness. The word is true. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7. By the word of truth, by the power of Yah, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Also, Ephesians 1 and 13 tells us, in whom ye trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Ruach HaKodesh of promise. That's Ephesians 1:13. Again, the Bible is true. It tells you it's true. 2 Timothy chapter 2:15. Study to show yourself approved, a workman unto Yah. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. James chapter 1, verse 18. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. So number one, the word is true. Number two, the word is also righteous. So not only is the word truth, but the word is also righteousness. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. So the word itself is righteous, for he is a babe. Now, with the foundation that the word is true and the word is righteous, you can begin to see that the Bible will lay a foundation that the Bible itself, the manuscript itself, is the final say. All right? So let's just remember that. How does the Bible reveal itself to us in pictures? Number one, the Bible is actually called, in the Bible, the word is called the book. If you look at 2 Chronicles 34 and 21, what happened was there was a king, his name was Josiah. Josiah was ruling the children of Israel. And he was ruling, of course, he was ruling in Judah. And one of the very interesting things is that when he began his reign, he was ruling without the book. When it says without the book, it meant without the word. So this is what he said when they... go ahead.
It says, go inquire of Yahuwah for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Yehuda concerning the words of the Sefer, or the book that is found. For great is the wrath of Yahuwah that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not guarded the word of Yahuwah to do after all that is written in this Sefer.
All right. So we know that there's sometimes that the actual Bible is called the book, and we know that the book is the word of Yah. So he found the book, and then he found someone who could interpret the book, which is very interesting. He's the king, and as the king, he still needed someone that was able to read the words and then give him the information. Isaiah 34 and 16, it says, seek ye out of the book of Yahweh and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want for her mate. For my mouth it is commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. So again, the book, when we talk about the word, sometimes the word is referred to as the book. And the word as a book, obviously, is talking about Torah. The word is also called, and this is powerful, the word is actually called fire. The word is referred to as fire in the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 5:14.
Wherefore, thus says Yahuwah Elohim Tesavot, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them.
So the Bible itself says it's fire. And that as fire, it represents judgment, right? I'm just going to give you pictures, all right? Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9.
And it says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay."
All right. One more. Jeremiah 23 and 29.
It says,
and we have two here. We have fire and hammer, but go ahead.
"Is not my word like as a fire, says Yahuwah, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?"
So we see then that the word calls itself the book. The word calls itself fire, and the word calls itself a hammer. And that's interesting, especially this fire. How many of you all can remember what John the Baptizer said concerning the work of the Hamashiach? He said, "Personally, I baptize you with water. But the one that's coming after me, he shall baptize you with the Ruach HaKodesh and with fire." And of course, a lot of people don't realize that the fire of baptism that he's speaking about is the word of Yah, that he would literally baptize the nation with Torah, the teachings of the Most High Yah, the teachings, the principles, the precepts. Do you have that?
Yes, it's Luke 16. It says, "Yochanan answered, saying unto them all, I indeed immerse you with water, but one mightier than I comes, the latch of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall immerse you with the Ruach HaKodesh, or the set-apart spirit, and with fire."
So we know that according to Jeremiah gospel, and all of us take Jeremiah to be a prophet. I mean, he's a true prophet, a mouthpiece of the Most High Yah. He says that the word is as fire. All right. The word is not only as fire and as a hammer, but it's also as honey. Can you find Psalm 19, verses 9 and 10? This is very powerful.
And it reads, "The fear of Yahuwah is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahuwah are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb."
So watch what our king, this was our second king, King David, said. He said, "The fear of Yahuwah is clean. It's pure, it's righteous, and it endures forever." He said, "The judgments of Yahuwah are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than they of gold, yeah, much fine gold, sweeter than honey in the honeycomb." The word of Yah is sweeter than honey in a honeycomb, which means it ought to be greatly desired of those of us who follow the Most High Yah. Psalm 119:103.
And it reads, "How sweet are your words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth."
So there it is. How sweet are thy words. So we know that it's the word that's sweet, sweeter than honey, he says in Psalm 119, verse 103. All right, so we know that. Now let's see another description that the word gives itself. The word says that it is light, and that it, and as a light, it is a lamp. Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 105, which, by the way, my brothers and my sisters, is one of my favorite verses in the Psalm.
It says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I want to interject that that part where it starts, I left it out, but it actually has a noon there. And it a noon represents the seed. So I know a lot of people, you've read through Psalm 119, and you kind of just looked over those little Hebrew characters that are in there. The Hebrew character for the beginning of Psalm 119 is a noon, and it represents the seed, which is the word of the Most High.
All right. So, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, meaning that the word itself is saying, I give you light where you are right now. That's the lamp to my feet. I need to see where I am right now currently. But it also says that the word, this is the word of Yah, the Torah, the teachings primarily of the first five books of the Bible, are also a light unto my path, and that has to do with the projection of light, so that the word is not only showing me where I am now, but it also illuminates my path so that I can see in the darkness how to travel and reach my destination safely. All right. Let's go to another definition or description or picture of the word. The word is meat. The word is meat, M-E-A-T. It's solid food for us. All right. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 and 14.
It says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
So it is the word of Yahweh, the word of Yah, that is our food. That is our meat. The word itself says, I'm meat. I'm your food. I hope by now you're beginning to develop this picture of not only what the word is, but also who the word is. You see here in the text that the word is meat and solid food.
All right. So as you guys are chewing on all that meat, because that's a lot of heaviness to take in, we're going to take a break and we're going to run a commercial and we're going to play another song, and then we'll be back to hear more about this word. Shalom.
There is really very little difference in a false witness and a traitor. Both portray lies and act deceitfully among the brethren. And yet there are those who do both unknowingly, because they themselves are deceived about what is truth. The word traitor in Greek means to give in to your enemy's hands and surrender. And in Hebrew, the word traitor simply means to be unfaithful. The greatest traitor was Judas, who betrayed Yeshua with a kiss the night he was taken into custody. And yet we can only surmise from the actions Judas took the next day by hanging himself that not only was he extremely remorseful, but he may have thought what he was doing was righteous, because he apparently wanted to force Yeshua to use his divine power to become king and somehow lead the cause to defeat Rome. Whatever his reasoning, he was deceived. Which leads me to ask the question, how many believers today are deceived about the practice of man-made doctrines that have the appearance of righteousness and faithfulness on the surface, but are actually promoting lies and deceit among the brethren, and have departed from the one true faith handed to us by the apostles to guard and protect? Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. How many believers have actually surrendered their faith and are now acting unfaithful by practicing the counterfeit substitution that the apostate church has demanded we observe if we wish to remain faithful according to their definition of faithfulness? To practice a lie and to believe it as truth is the definition of being deceived, and whether knowingly or unknowingly, the end result is unfaithfulness. And this is exactly what the practice of Christmas, Easter, and Sunday as Sabbath is. And those who practice such are actually not only traitors to the one true faith, but they are bowing their knee in submission to the whore of Babylon and condoning falsehood to rule their spiritual lives and are rejecting Father's Torah. I'm Bill Sanford with the Torah Thought for the day.
I know they see you when they want you. I know they see you when they want to make you who they want you to be. I know that life is trying to get you. I know that life is calling out to you by your name. But don't listen, resist it, keep running. Don't you stop for nothing, just keep kicking. Remember where you came from, don't forget what you already know. What you got is amazing, hold that, don't you let it go. You hold the light, you hold the light. You hold the light and it's shining and making darker places brighter, you lighter. You hold the light, you got a lot. You bring a lot, you bring a lot. And it's Saturday, they can see it, they won't end it. But it's not for the taking, it's not for the changing. No, it's not for remixing, it's not for remaking, alright. So they lining up to take it, alright. I can't let them take my you, you know I ride for you, yeah. I won't let them take you. I'll be your direction, yeah, I'll be your protector. You know I ride, I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. You know I'm fighting cause I refuse to lose you. Fighting cause I refuse to lose you. I'll fight, you know I'm ready. Situations will approach you. And opportunities to fade, shade, and downgrade will provoke you. And those you trust will start to turn to. So never pay too much attention to the things they say they won't do. And you gotta be persistent. And believe me, you ain't seen much, it's just the beginning. My walking slow to speaking, but be quick to listen. Be mindful, you be vigilant and pay attention. Because you hold the light, you hold the light. You hold the light and it's shining and making darker places brighter, you lighter. You hold the light, you got a lot. You bring a lot, you bring a lot. And it's Saturday, they can see it, they won't end it. But it's not for the taking, it's not for the changing. No, it's not for remixing, it's not for remaking, alright. So they lining up to take it, alright. I can't let them take my you, you know I ride for you, hey. I won't let them take you. I'll be your direction, yeah, I'll be your protector. You know I ride, I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. You know I'm fighting cause I refuse to lose you. Fighting cause I refuse to lose you. I'll fight, you know I'm ready.
There's no need to worry about them let me downs. You can count them and sink the moment you let me round. I torched it, scream shouted and forced it to move off that groove and made on the porch of your heart. I knew from the start it was gonna be war. The clowns we fighting for, the thought of you free from danger. Hurt, fear, depression, and anger, confusing, rage, and pain galore. Got me out here with my tools up, fighting with what I could use up. Lyrics on tracks with music, yeah, the pain came and the rain fell down, but I maintained through the skirmish. Cause I love you, and you're worth it. Yeah, you could be anything to them, but to me, you're perfect. I fight for you. I'm right for you. I'm here on purpose.
And you know I fight for you.
All right, we're back. That song was Fight For You by Molly Music. Go out and check him out. He is standing on the truth. He actually had Grammy nominations, but he did not win, probably because he's standing on the truth. So go out and support a young brother who is speaking truth in his whole CD. All right, we're going to jump right back in to this word on what exactly is the word. All right, back to the more.
All right, shalom, shalom. We are studying the word and what the word says about the word. So I want to pick up where we left off, that the word is meat, but the word is also milk. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, all right, that they may grow thereby. Now, the next one I want to pause and speak a little more about than I've done the others. I want to look at Luke chapter 8, verse 11. We are all familiar with this parable. It is actually told in two of the Gospels. And it is the parable of the sower and the seed. So why don't you just read that one verse? Now the word says, now the parable.
Verse 11.
Luke chapter 8, verse 11.
Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of Yahuwah.
All right. That is, the seed is the word. All right? So the word is the seed. Remember that. Because we have some illustrations and some hints throughout the Bible that the seed eventually is going to show up here. Genesis speaks about, chapter 3 speaks about the seed of the woman. And then later on we'll discover in Genesis chapter 12 that Abraham will be blessed, and by his seed the whole world will be blessed. And we then have a description here that the seed is the word of Yah. So I want you to keep that in mind, that the Bible or the Holy Manuscript calls itself the seed. All right? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says,
being born from the beginning, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of Yahuwah, which lives and abides forever.
All right, so you can see again that the word is the incorruptible seed, right? The word also calls itself, or gives us the picture of silver that has been tried in the fire. Psalm 12, the 12th Psalm, and verse 6. We'll just keep looking at these one verses. And while Marika is finding that, let me just share this about these psalms and these verses. It will do you a great deal of good when you have a chance to go back and read these verses in context. I promise you, your understanding will be greatly enhanced. All right? Psalm 12, verse 6.
The words of Yahuwah are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times.
So the word says about itself that it is like silver that has been tried in a furnace seven times. That means perfecting it. The word itself says, I've been perfectly tried and I am perfectly flawless. All right? The word calls himself spirit and life. The word says, is spirit and life. John chapter 6, verse 63.
It is the Ruach that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Ruach, or spirit, and they are life.
So he says, the word that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life, the word. All right, not only is the word, does the word say that the word is spirit and life, but the word actually says that it's a sword. Let's look at that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17.
And it says, and take the helmet of Yahushua and the word and the sword of the Ruach, which is the word of Yahuwah.
So we know that the sword of the Spirit, I wish I had time to just deal with this one verse, because we say this verse, the sword of the Spirit, without realizing that the sword of the Spirit is the Torah. That is the sword. That's the sword that the Spirit uses as a weapon, all right? It uses the Torah. The Torah is a sword. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12.
For the word of Yahuwah is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and ruach, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
So it is, the word of Yah is saying about itself that it is alive. That word quick means it's alive. That's why we can never say this part of the word is no longer necessary for us because it has passed away. It's old. No. When you look in what you call the Old Testament or the Tanakh, you cannot allow people to say to you at any time, this does not apply, this is not important, we don't have to read this, we don't have to know this, because the Bible says that the word of Yah, which is Torah, is quick, powerful, and sharp. All right, so we know it's the sword. I wish I had more time on that one, but we have a long ways to go with the verses. So the word also calls itself water.
Ephesians 5:26 says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
So we know that when the Bible talks about water, he's referring to the word. Let me quickly review, because that was a lot, but I'm just going to run through them. The word of Yah is shown as a book, as fire, as hammer, as honey, as a lamp, as meat, as solid food, milk, seed, silver, the spirit or silver tried in the fire, spirit and life, a sword and water. Okay, so when you start to see the physical picture of the word or the word through physical pictures, then you begin to understand how important the word is to the sustaining of life, family. That without the word, we have nothing. So the word itself describes itself. Now, I told you when we began, I gave you a description and informed you about what's called the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. In the Torah, we have the commandments, the principles, and the judgments of the Most High. But what I want you to see is that all of the writers of the manuscript referred back to Torah, back to the first five books, which tells us that all five books are still active to this day. They are still applicable to this day. Go ahead.
I wanted to add, we get, you know, in our manuscript, especially with the Torah, most people say, oh, well, the law didn't start until Moses wrote it. So all that time before that, you know, everybody was pretty much just living haphazardly. But something that Maury brought out in a conversation we've had before was that every word that comes out of the mouth of Yahuwah is his law. And we see the first laws being laid down at creation. Yeah. And so the laws carry from creation up until Moshe actually writes anything down. So there's no period of lawlessness on earth. Everything, as the Bible said, is held together by his words or his law. So when we're looking at Torah and you have a space where you don't get law until Exodus chapter 20, that's not what's happening. There are plenty of stories where we have the king, I think it's Abimelech, who says, how do you let me, you know, how are you going to let me sleep with your wife? You know that's unlawful. How is it unlawful? We know that sin is transgression of the law. The first time we hear the word sin is Cain kills Abel, and he says, and sin lieth at the door. So there was law before. We see law when he tells Shuah or Eve, don't eat from that tree. Anything that Yahuwah says is his law. That's something to just keep in mind. We're looking at the first five books of the Bible because people want to always argue that, well, we don't have to do these things because that's Moses' law. It's not true. It's Yah's law. He tells his law, and law is what's holding everything together today.
Amen. Shalom. Another, I want to give you now descriptions of the word. I'm just going to give you these. I'm not going to go through every single verse, but I want to give you these descriptions. So when you hear these words in your holy manuscript, you will know that these words are referring to the Torah or to the Tanakh, which I said is the teachings or the shooting forth of truth of Yah to us.
Okay, before Morey goes into those descriptions, we're going to take a quick break, give you guys a chance to let some of that information settle in. We're going to start with a commercial. It's from Hebrew Marketplace. If you guys have not checked it out, it's a great place to get information. So we'll be back in a minute.
Shalom, Yisrael. I would like to introduce you to HebrewMarketplace.com, a business directory for Hebrew Israelites across the globe. This is a platform for us to find and support each other in our endeavors. If you have a product or a service that you offer that you would like to present to your Hebrew family, I invite you to get listed at HebrewMarketplace.com. You can post your business information, pictures, and a video link in your listing. There's also a space to post your events here for free. Come by and visit the site often to see new listings and support our brothers and sisters in their endeavors. And remember to share the site and the listings that you find here with others. Shalom, Mishpacha.
When Yahshua was in Mitzrayim's land, let my people go. Oppressed so hard that they could not stand, let my people go. Go down, Masha, way down in Mitzrayim's land. Hello, Pharaoh, to let my people go. Oh, let us all from bondage flee, let my people go, and let us soul in Mashiach be free, let my people go. Go down, Mashiach, way down in Mitzrayim's land, tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. You need not always weep and mourn, let my people go, and wear those slavery chains forlorn, let my people go. Go down, Masha, way down in Mitzrayim's land, hello Pharaoh, to let my people go. Your foes shall not before you stand, let my people go. You shall possess fair Canaan's land, let my people go. Go down, Masha, way down in Mitzrayim's land, tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. Go down, Masha, way down in Mitzrayim's land, tell old Pharaoh to let my people go, so that we may worship him. So that we may worship him, worship Yahuwah. So that we may worship him, so that we may worship him, worship Yahuwah.
All the glory belongs to you, all the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you, all the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you, all the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you, all the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you,
all the glory belongs to you,
oh God. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. All the glory belongs
to you.
All the glory belongs to you, oh God.
name the highest praise today. So we say ha, ha, yeah.
Hop right back in it. Those two songs, one was from Hadara Ba'ya, and it was Let My People Go. And the second song was another song by Molly Music, and it's called Yahweh. We're going to get right back in where we left off. I'm going to give the Maury the mic.
One of the problems we have in our fellowships and worldwide, really, among even Christian groups, is a very, very terrible understanding of what the Word really is, or who the Word really is. The Word has been established, and the Word is established by itself. The Word confirms the Word. And so we are never in a position where we have a right to change the Word or alter the Word. We really don't have a right to put our input into the Word. As a matter of fact, we are commanded not to add to the Word nor diminish from the Word. And so I share that because I'm about to move into what's called descriptions of the Word. When you're reading the Bible and you hear these descriptions, you will know that the writers, whether they be of the law, of the prophets, or of the writings, whether they be of the gospels or the letters, when you hear these words, you will know they are speaking about Torah. All right? First, we see that the word of Yah is also the commandments of Yah. Psalm 78 and 7. That they might set their hope in Yah and not forget the works of Yah, but keep his commandments. Another description is judgment. The fear of Yahuwah is clean. We read that earlier, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahuwah are true and righteous altogether. Descriptions again of the word of Yah by itself says that the word is the law. The law of Yah is perfect. Again, another word for word, converting the soul. The testimony is sure, making wise the simple, and that is Psalm 19 and 7. Also, you'll hear this word used, oracles. When you hear the word oracles of Yah, it's again referring to the word of Yah, which is Torah. Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles, talking about the Hebrew Israelite nation in Romans chapter 3, verse 2. Another word that you will hear in the New Testament, and I don't like to use that word New Testament, but another word you will hear is the word ordinances. But I want you to know when you hear the word ordinances, we're talking about the word of Yah, the Torah. And they were both righteous before Yah, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of Yahuwah, blameless. There's another word for that describes the word of Yah. It is the word precepts. Psalm 119, verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Another word to describe the word of Yah is his statutes. The statutes of Yahuwah are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahuwah is pure, enlightening the eye. Another word for the word Torah, or for the word word, is testimony. When you hear a word like the testimony of Yahuwah is sure, the testimony of Yahuwah is found in the Torah and in the Tanakh. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 17 says, "You shall diligently keep the commandments of Yahuwah your Elohim and his testimonies and his statutes which he commanded thee." Another word, when you hear this word in the Bible, you will know he's talking about the Torah, or what we call the Tanakh, and that is the word ways. Okay? Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3 says, "And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of Yahuwah, and to the house of the Elohim of Yaakov. He will teach us of his ways." So when you hear him saying he will teach us of his ways, he is teaching us Torah. "And we will walk in his path." That's another word. It means Torah. "For out of Zion," or Zion, "shall come forth" what? "The law and the word of Yahuwah from Jerusalem." All right. So we've discussed tonight a lot of things concerning what the Bible says about itself, what the Word says about the Word. I want to kind of conclude and wrap it up now with a very powerful verse that's probably overlooked by many people. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1. Very, very simple, very straightforward line. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1. "Hear ye the word which Yahuwah speaketh unto you, O house of Israel." Stop. What we need to know is that there is a commandment given to us to hear the word of Yah. There's a commandment, literally a commandment, telling us that we are supposed to hear whatever the word of Yah speaks to us, right? Because the word is a true word, the word is a faithful word, the word is a good word, the word is a sure word. And I want to now go to John, where we started. Now that we've laid a foundation about the word, let's look at St. John chapter 1, verse 1 again.
It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim."
All right. Read that one more time, please, just that one verse.
"In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim."
So you cannot separate our Elohim, Yahuwah, from his word. And you cannot separate the word from Yahweh. So Yahweh and his word are the same. Yahweh is his word, and his word is Yahweh. His word, as we've gone over many things, his word is light, his lamp, his power, his might, it's the sword, it's food. You cannot separate Yah from his word. That's why we get verse 2 of this chapter. Listen to it.
"The same was in the beginning with Elohim."
So in the beginning was the word. The word was with Yah. The word was our Most High Yah. The same was in the beginning with Yah. Yah and his word have always been one. All right? Even in creation, verse 3.
"All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made."
He used words, or his word, to create the world. Verse 4.
"In him was life, and the life was the light of men."
It is Yah. We know his word. Bible says, we read it, that his word is life, and we study that his word is also light. Right? Verse 5.
"And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not."
Verse 6.
"There was a man sent from Yahuwah whose name was Yoganan. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe.
So the first time in Scripture that we get an actual true, well, not the first time in Scripture, but I would say in this, in the Gospels, that we begin to develop an understanding of our Hamasiah. The base of the understanding is the Hamasiah is actually the word. What John is saying is, in verse 6, that John the Baptist was not that light, but he came to bear witness of the word. Go ahead.
So pretty much what you're saying is, when these pastors and preachers tell us that Yah's Old Testament or his old word is done away with and that it's cursed, we're seeing here that the very word that they're saying is cursed or done away with is the same word that is coming to redeem humanity?
Actually, when we get to verse 14, I'm going to deal with that a little. That's really how I'm going to close, but I want you to see that there's going to be no contradiction in Yah's word ever whatsoever. And we're going to actually discover our Hamasiah in this passage. All right, let's keep going. Verse 9.
That was the true light which lights every man that comes into the world.
Okay, so the light of Yah's word, remember we've already studied that the word is light, that the word is life. And we know that Yahweh is the author of all life. So the light, the little bit of light, which means intelligence or reasoning or knowledge, that every human has comes from Yahweh. All right, keep going.
He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not.
One of the most tragic verses in the whole Bible is that the word of Yah that we've been studying was actually in the world, came to this planet, and was hanging around in this world. The world that was made by him, and the world didn't know him. Next verse.
He came unto his own, and his own received him not.
Even more tragic, that Yah's word came to his own people. Now, this is unbelievable. I can understand if Yahweh had sent his word, say, to Russia, and they didn't receive it. Or if he would have sent it to the Far East, and they might not have received it. Or if he may have sent it, you know, maybe to the Americas, and the indigenous people may not. But to send his word to a people, now really pay attention to this, who already had his word, to actually send his word to a family that he had already entrusted his word to, who had been holding his word ever since our Uncle Moshe brought it down from Sinai, because you know he's authored the first five books. They've had the oracles, they've had the preachers, they've had the prophets, they had all the instructions. This group of people that the word came to was his own people. He sent his word where his word was already. And the Bible says, and he came into his own, and his own received him. Ooh, not. They rejected Torah. It is the same picture throughout Scripture. When Yah first gave us Torah, you find there is a rejection of Torah from day one by his chosen people. The first thing they said is, when he said, all right, I'm going to marry you as a nation, I'm going to call you out, you will be my people, I will be your Elohim, you'll be my people. They first said, all that Yah says, we will do. Then he gives them his word. And right after he finished giving them his word, the people began a rebellion against the Most High, who have blessed them. And this is what's important that everyone should see. When we look in the New Testament, we see that he's given his word to his people again, but this time he's giving his word to them in a different form. At first he wrote it in books, but this time he's going to give his word in a different form. Let's read it.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of Yahuwah.
As many as received the word.
Even to them that believed on his name.
Now watch this verse.
Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of Yahuwah.
So the birth that the Bible speaks about, this new birth, we'll discover that later, but we're not going to do that in tonight's lesson. We will discover that Yeshua talks about being born of Yah. And why, is bringing up this idea of being born of Yah. And then Yeshua shows up later and tells a ruler, don't you understand that everyone has to be born of Yah? Okay? So, now watch verse 14.
And the word was made flesh and tabernacled among us.
Stop, please, right there. And the word, it doesn't say was put on stones here. It doesn't say the word here was put in a book. In this passage, it says, and the word, which we've already discovered, is Torah. We've already discovered that the word is everything we need. He says, the word was made flesh. Listen to this. The truth was made flesh. The righteousness of Yahweh was made flesh. The book was made flesh. The fire of Yah was made flesh. The hammer of the Most High Yah was made flesh. The honey that's sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb was made flesh. The lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path was made flesh. The meat and the food that sustains our soul was made flesh. The milk of the word was made flesh. The seed of Yahweh was made flesh. The silver that had been tried in the fire seven times was made flesh. The spirit and the life was made flesh. The sword of the spirit of Yah, the sword, was made flesh. The water, the living water that quenches the thirst of the hungry or of the thirsty soul, was made flesh. Now watch this. The commandments of the Most High Yah were made flesh. The judgments of Yah were made flesh. The oracles of Yah were made flesh. The ordinances that everybody says, are we still under or not? No, they were made flesh. The precepts, flesh. The statutes, the testimonies, his ways were made flesh. Do you remember when Yahushua stood before his disciples and said unto them, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He was saying Torah is the way. Torah is the truth. Torah is the life. No man comes to the Father but through Torah, but through the word. And John here says, and that word became flesh and tabernacled among us. He came on tabernacle. He was born in a tabernacle, on tabernacle, and was our tabernacle, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. Do you hear that? He was not the begotten of Yosef. The Word was always with the Father, and the Word is made flesh. It's Yahweh's Word as a seed. Remember, I told you about the seed of the woman. It was the seed that was put in, which is the word of Yah, which was placed in Miriam, that then, according to scripture, She gave birth without a man, the seed of the woman, fulfilling the prophecy, and we actually had among us the word of Yah in living flesh. And our forefather, our cousin, John, Yohanan, our relative, had a chance to be here when the word of Yah was here in flesh. And he wrote it down in a book so that we would know that Yahweh fulfilled his Torah by sending his Torah to save his people.
All right, we are going to take a break at that point because that is absolutely heavy. We are seeing now that the very thing that we are being told to reject in our churches is the very thing that has indeed redeemed us. We'll be back in a second.
Now, here's something to think about. Is the name Jesus truly the name of our Messiah? Did you know that the letter J is only approximately 450 years old? Also, when properly interpreting a language, it is common knowledge to translate words and to transliterate names. What this means is, it is okay to phonetically change the sound of a word from one language to another, but when it comes to changing a proper name, you want to keep the sound of the name as close to the exact sound of the original name in the original language. Have you ever watched a foreign movie or a foreign news report with subtitles running at the bottom of the screen? Did you notice that when they said an English name, it was always pronounced and spelled the same way in the foreign language? We know that our Savior's name in Hebrew is Yeshua. So I have to ask you, does Yeshua and Jesus sound anything close? Did you know that Yeshua in Hebrew actually means Yah saves or Yah delivers? Did you know that the hybrid name Jesus has no identifiable meaning? If you don't believe that it's important, then why would Peter in Acts 2:38 tell us to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Yeshua the Messiah for the remission of sins? And he goes on to say in Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Is it any wonder why the devil would try to remove that name which is above every name and lead us to use a different name? Personally, when I got saved by faith, I called upon the name Jesus. But upon learning the truth 10 years ago, I have since then always used the Savior's real Hebrew name when praying. After all, Yeshua never heard the name Jesus, or the English language for that matter. And why should we drag our Savior's true Hebrew name from Hebrew through Greek, then Latin, and then English, when we can accurately transliterate his name directly from Hebrew into English with the same phonetic sound? I'm Bill Sanford with the Torah Thought for the day.
Curses live other nations have it. I know the truth hurt, but see the truth work. Fulfilling prophecy, yeah, to the Jew first. Everybody ain't gonna get it, so that truth hurt. Breaking down all lies and religion first. See, I thirst prophecy, and yo, I fit the curse. Look at the news, it's real, man, it's getting worse. Jacob trouble is real, head hard as steel. Broad is the way that leads you off to hell.
Tribes of Israel scattered across the sea, in the belly of them ships we sail. So much misery, we were rebellious, stiff-necked, hard-headed, no respect. Brother Moses told us this would be. Simple, sluggish, foolish, lacking knowledge. Now we serve our enemies. We must be lost 12 tribes of Israel, scattered across the sea.
All right, we're back. We're going to hop right back in. I'm going to read a passage, so bear with me. It's pretty lengthy, but once you hear this passage, so much of what has just been spoken of is going to make 100% sense.
Let me just interject that as you read this passage, which is going to be, I'm still in John, remember that John is actually talking about the Messiah is the Word. So everywhere you hear the word son of Yah, I want you in your mind to think of the Word made flesh. And you will understand why Yeshua is able to make the statement that he makes, because he knows he's Yah's Word made flesh. All right? Go ahead. That is Yohanan chapter 5, verse 19.
Then answered Yahushua and said unto them, Amen, amen, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father.
So hold on. If you don't give honor to Yahushua as the Word of Yah, as the Torah, then you don't honor the Father. And if you don't honor the Father, which is Torah, then you are dishonoring the Son. Continue.
He that honors not the Son honors not the Father, which has sent him. Amen, amen, I say unto you.
Listen.
He that hears my words and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Amen, amen, I say unto you. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Elohim, and they that hear him shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Adam. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
So how do we know what's good and what's evil, what's right and what's wrong? Because of Torah, the teachings, the principles, the commandments. What will the world be judged on? What will this great judgment day be about? It will be about how we responded to Torah, Yah's word, and his word made flesh is Yeshua. So he only has one standard of judgment, and it's his laws, his precepts, his principles that we find in Torah. Continue.
I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto Yochanan, and he bore witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of Yochanan. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me.
He fulfills Torah. Go ahead.
And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not.
I know you don't have Yah's word in you, because I am Yah's word, and you are rejecting me. All right, continue.
Search the scripture.
There it is. That's what
I'm trying to get to. For them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me.
He said, the scriptures are testifying of me. Search the scriptures. I told you earlier that another word for the Torah, or another word for the first five books of the Bible, is the word scripture. And, of course, later it began to include the whole Tanakh. So he's telling them, if you search the Tanakh, you will see that it is the Tanakh that testifies of me. Not some new doctrine, some new theology, some new denomination. No, he says, what has already been established, which is the Tanakh, it testifies of me. All right, go ahead.
And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men.
Men don't honor the Torah.
But I know you, that ye have not the love of Yahuwah in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that comes from Yahuwah only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moshe, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed
there
Moshe, you would have believed me.
Read that.
For had ye believed Moshe, mm-hmm. ye would have believed me. For he wrote of me.
That's it. You got one more verse, but go ahead.
But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?
You cannot. I don't know if you can make that any more plain than that, Zion. I don't know if we need to try to even add commentary to that. Let's just read it. If you have believed Moses, see, you can't reject what Moses brought down from Yah, because what Moshe brought to us as a people was the word of Yah. And he says, you haven't believed Moses. And he wrote of me. Do you see now, Zion, that Yahushua is Yah's word, which is Torah, made flesh? Moses wrote of Yahushua, verse 47, but you believe not his writing. But if you believe not his writings, that means if you believe his writings are outdated, they're no longer valid, we don't have to know him, we don't have to keep his feast day, we don't have to keep his law, we don't have to keep his principles, we don't believe anything in there, then he says, how shall you believe my words? It's incredible. I told you, John is laying a foundation in his writing in chapter 1 that we're supposed to carry throughout the book. This is my last segment, and I really appreciate Marika allowing me to come on her radio show and share a few words. She always, you know, rubs it in that she has more listeners than I do. So when I post things, you know, I'm lucky to get one or two likes. And if she posts something, it gets like 5,000. But I'm grateful that I had this opportunity to be here. And if she's so kind, I wish she would invite me back one day.
He's really funny because, I mean, as you guys can see, this is my moire. So I'm not getting my information, you know, just, you know, under a shade tree. I do my own studying, but as you can easily see, I'm feeding off of this all the time. You guys are just getting what I'm gleaning sometimes. So.
All right. Let me finish this. Thank you all for tuning in and being a part of this radio broadcast. I'm hoping that it will grow to be a broadcast that will reach hundreds of thousands of people on a weekly basis with the good news of Yahweh and his salvation through his word made flesh, Yahushua. I'm going to close with St. John chapter 14, still dealing with the word made flesh. Watch this. Ooh, I felt something. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in Yahweh? Yahuwah? You believe in Yahweh. Believe also in me. There it is right there. You believe in Yah, believe in his word. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. Wait a minute. Where I'm going, you know, and the way. How to get there, you know. Verse 5. Thomas said unto him, Master, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Verse 6. Yahushua said unto him, I am the way. Didn't we already read when we were given the descriptions that one of the words for Torah is the way? He said, I am the truth. We read that Torah is truth. And that I am life. We read Torah is life. No man cometh unto the Father, Yahweh, but by me. If you had known me, Torah, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have, now listen to this. He says you, from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Master, show us the Father. That's what he said. Look, we just want to see him one good time. Just let us look at the Father and we will be totally satisfied. What a question. After hanging out with Yeshua all that time, they were still blinded to who he really was. Yeshua almost responds like he's shocked. He says, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest not that I am in the Father, that the word is in the Father, and that the Father in me? The word that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. In other words, Yeshua did not start a religion called Christianity. He did not start a denomination. He said, the words I speak, not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, knoweth the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very words work sakes. Truly, truly, amen, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the work that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whosoever And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall have anything in my name, according to Torah, I will do it. Now, one more, a couple of verses. Listen to this very close. If you love me, if you love the word, if you love Torah, keep Torah. Keep my commandments. And what will you do? I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. And we know that, what is he going to give us? He's going to give us the word again in a different form again. We get the word first in stone, on stones. We get the word in flesh. And then last but not least, we're going to receive the same word by spirit, that he might abide with you forever. Verse 17, even this ruach of truth, I told you that the truth is the Torah that the world cannot receive. John chapter 1 says, come into this world, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world sees me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. One more verse, last one. He that keepeth my commandment, he that hath my commandment, and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. Did you see that in your Bible? Verse 21 of John, he that hath my commandments, he that hath Torah, and keeps them, it is he that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Whew, it's beautiful. Okay, I lied. Two more. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Master, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself to us and not unto the world? Yeshua said unto him, if a man love me, he'll keep my
word.
There it is. We've been talking about the word. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not. Keep it not my saying. People who don't love y'all don't keep y'all's words. The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. Amen. I pray that this message, as it goes out worldwide to the 12 tribe, bloodline descendants of the children of Israel, the 12 tribes, I pray that you will gain strength from this, especially those who will be given the great responsibility, the 144,000 that are being raised up to declare, 12,000 from each tribe. I pray that this gives you some type of encouragement. And then I also pray for all that have been grafted in to this marvelous family, the Hebrew Israelites of the world, and to those of us who are partakers of the love of the Most High Yah, that we would understand that what we received in our Hamashiach is Yahweh's word made flesh. Shalom, shalom.
All right, we're going to end there. I hope that you guys had a wonderful time and that you were completely edified by the word coming forth in truth on just who is this word. If you have not checked us out, you can find us online on Facebook. Neon Marisa Davis. And you can find me on there. This is Marvin Davis. He's also on Facebook. Look him up. We have podcasts online that are posted on the pages. We have the website, keepingitroyal.com, where the blogs show up. And we just want you all to be blessed with the word of truth. And we hope to see you again next week. Next week we have a sister named Erica Daniel. She's from Fresno, California. And she'll be sharing with us next week. She has a dynamic word. We're going to do a lot of dialoguing. So you guys stay tuned and get in that chat room so we can have some questions to answer at the end. And hopefully the rabbi will come back the following week if he's not too busy and share with us why Christianity has three gods when we know that Yahuwah Eloheinu is one. So maybe he'll come back and share that with us. All right, shalom, shalom. We'll end off with Redemption Song by Bob Marley.
Merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hands was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Ooh, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Oh, have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them are gonna stop at the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs. All I ever had, redemption songs. Songs of freedom, songs of freedom.